This podcast was recorded Thursday, February 5th at 10:27 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like Punxsutawney Phil and Buckeye Chuck will meet for a cage match to determine once and for all when spring returns. This week, Phil said 6 more weeks of winter. Chuck, who lives along the same latitude, said spring is right around the corner. We'll see who's right. Let's talk politics. This is Snollig Oster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollig Osters, those shrewd politicians who, to their credit, do not rely on rodents to make decisions. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, our Snollig Oster of the Week honors legal shrewdness. But first, in the end, all the speculation, the preparations, the fear, it was all for naught. A federal judge in Washington extended temporary protected status for Haitian immigrants living in the United States. Judge Anna Reyes' decision to allow the Haitians to remain legally came hours before Tuesday's deadline. As the deadline approached, the 45,000 Haitian immigrants living in the central Ohio area feared an ICE surge would round them up and deport them. Governor DeWine spoke with officials in the Springfield area, which has a large Haitian community. Churches and activists mobilized and were ready to protest and offer support. But the ICE surge never came. Haitians can legally work and live in the United States for a little while longer. The Trump administration says it will appeal the judge's ruling, and that case continues in federal court. Advocates say they are ready to mobilize again should ICE's attention drift away from Minnesota and toward Ohio. So while that storm passed us by, we are still left with the remnants of last week's major winter storm. Much to the relief of parents, schools reopened this week. The leftover piles of snow and frigid temperatures caused most schools, at least in central Ohio, to close all of last week. AEP seemed to survive the storm pretty well, at least in Ohio. No major power outages here. But the utility made news when Governor DeWine mentioned his administration is trying to keep AEP's headquarters in Ohio. The company is looking possibly to move out of its 31-story headquarters in downtown Columbus. To discuss these stories, we turn to this week's panel. State House reporter Joe Ingles from Ohio Public Radio, Democratic strategist Stanley Gates, and Republican strategist Mike Gonadakis. We will start with the snow, which is still here. The extended closure of schools led to lots of questions about snow plowing efforts and why, in this age of work and learning from home, why we even have snow days anymore.
A week of missed classes. That's a lot, Stanley. Is that too much? Should they have gone back Wednesday, Thursday? It's to some degree?
I personally don't think so. I mean, so I'm a runner, and I'm running outside, I mean, that's not something that I want my kids waiting at a bus stop for, especially when the sidewalks are not clear at all. And so, you know, you have this situation where they are now, and they can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that we're keeping them safe. I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of folks say back in our day we were standing outside, but that doesn't make us, that doesn't make it right that, you know, we went through it and they should go through it too. We should make sure we're thinking about their safety.
In my day, Mike, in my day, right. We were out there climbing over those snowbanks.
That's right.
But in New York, they went back to school remotely. They didn't miss anything. They went back to school, New York City, remotely the first day, and then they were back in class the next day, Tuesday.
That's exactly what we should do moving forward when we have calamity days like this. All the kids have iPads. Mike, my son goes to Hilliard Public Schools. He doesn't have books. Everything's on the iPad, doesn't write, doesn't have notebook, doesn't come home with paper. We have the iPads. We have the technology. Let's use it when we have this week long. Jo's right in her assessment of why we didn't have school. Our great superintendent, Dave Stewart at Hilliard Public Schools, he had to navigate, how do I get the kids to school that live in Hilliard? Because we have win-win. The Hilliard streets are great. The Columbus streets, where people live at Columbus, Texas, Hilliard schools, were a disaster. Kids couldn't get to school.
During COVID, Stanley, we heard that snow days were a thing of the past because we all learned how to learn remotely. Snow days are still here. COVID's 5 years in the rearview mirror. Schools are back, but we're not taking full advantage of remote learning. Should we?
I think that we should, but I think that there's major structural investments that need to happen before we actually get there. In particular with Columbus City Schools, I mean, this is a much larger school district, a much larger area when we think about the city as well. And I think about the teacher, right? How is the teacher with kids also going to make sure she's teaching her class on top of being able to supervise her own kids and make sure that they have stable internet, food as well, and then also are able to get on the internet and do their learning as well. So these are things that should happen, yes, but we need to make sure that we rethink it, actually take some time and invest in the infrastructure to make this happen.
Are we looking for the perfect as an enemy of the good here? Like, everyone has to have good internet, has to have a Chromebook, has to have a laptop, this teacher has to have no kids at home. And
yeah, I agree with it. I know where you're going with that, and I agree with what you're saying, because you can always find ways. Look, every school system has a internet solution that allows kids to get on, parents to get on to see their grades, what their homework assignment is. Teachers could load it up on a Friday. Hey, if we don't have school, here are the 6 things I want you to do next week. And when we do come back, I expect you to have them done, and we'll go over them. There's all these ways to do it, common sense solutions. Let's sit down and do that. So these kids, look, Columbus Public Schools has the highest truancy rate. What'd they miss? 19 of the 31 days in the month of January of not going to school? That's a problem for these kids. They need to be in school, and they're not.
It's based on hours, right? You have to be in number of hours, so you can add an hour or two here. So it should be days, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it be school days? When I was a kid. In my day.
Back in your day.
You know, we had 5 snow days. And if you used them all, you went to the end of the school year. But if you didn't, you'd get a couple extra days off of the end of the school.
I don't think that that's a crazy idea. I mean, I think that when I was in school as well, it was days. And that happened in 2008 when we had the massive snowfall then. At the end of the day, it's just making sure that we are able to be thoughtful about the kids. I mean, I think that they should have the opportunity to remote learn.
The real problem is the snowstorms happen in the winter, 8, 9, 10 months before the next election. Mm-hmm. So if they happened in October, we'd probably get more plows than we do now. Anyway, American Electric Power moved its headquarters to Columbus in the early 1980s. Since then, the utility has called its landmark 31-story tower its home base. Now, after 4.5 decades, AEP says it's looking for a new home for its headquarters. Last summer, the company said the building was getting too old and would require significant renovations. Governor DeWine told the Dispatch his administration has been having a lot of conversations about keeping AEP in Ohio. The utility serves 11 states. Stanley Gates, AEP had $3.6 billion in profit last year. How much should the state, city pay to keep the headquarters here?
I think that they should be trying to figure out a deal for them to stay here. I mean, they're a really big economic driver for this region, for the city, and also for the state.
And for AEP.
So while they are making this huge profit, I do think that they need to figure something out with the local officials to be able to stay here. But I don't think that that means new tax abatements. I don't think that that means new incentives. I think that that means just keeping the jobs here, because this is your duty. This is where you've been. And I think that they should stay here.
Reading between the lines of what Governor DeWine told the Dispatch, he wants to keep AEP in Ohio. He didn't say Columbus. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that they likely will not be downtown Columbus, at least not in that tower?
Well, that tower, they own it, right? Yeah. I'm assuming they do. It's their building. If they need a new roof, put a new roof on it. We have to do that in our houses, right? I need a new sidewalk or driveway. I have to pay for it. AEP made $3 billion, according to your assessment. Put a darn new roof on. Fix your elevators. That's your responsibility to your employees. Don't come crying to the taxpayer. This is crazy. Look, when we give incentives to bring a company here, they bring jobs. They bring revenue. But just to keep, I just don't understand why AEP can't build their own building or make their building look nicer. Why is it on the taxpayers' back to have to do that?
We don't know for sure what those negotiations include, but if they're talking to the government, there has to be some kind of incentive. But there are 2,300 employees who work in that building, Joe, and it's a landmark building in downtown Columbus. You really don't want that to be empty.
No, I don't think anyone.
Long.
Yeah, I don't think they want it to be empty. But I think the other thing, Mike makes a good point. Why is it, you know, a lot of taxpayers are yelling right now. We see them at the State House all the time. We see a petition circulating to try to get taxes lower and to get rid of property taxes. We hear this constantly from taxpayers and from voters. So why are lawmakers possibly looking at the idea of giving AEP a break? It kind of runs counterintuitive to what the electric wants.
What if AEP wants to move to Dublin or to Easton or to New Albany? How does that work? because you're going to make Columbus mad if you give them state incentives to move. Bob Evans did this several years ago, moved from the South Side out to New Albany. Yep. So it happens, but...
Yeah, I mean, selfishly as a Columbus guy, you know, we need them in downtown. I mean, again, this is a major economic driver for our downtown region. This is how we are able to stimulate the economy here in Columbus and also make sure that it goes out into the suburbs. And so selfishly, I would like for them to stay in downtown Columbus where they are. And again, Mike makes a really good point. You have no reason to leave. You can make those fixes yourself, and we can figure this out together.
I mean, the Columbus location is good for AEP. It's kind of centrally located in its area of those 11 states. They've got more branches now than they did when they first moved here, of course. But workforce, Ohio State University produces a lot of engineers, a lot of business executives. I mean, there has to be reasons that, other than incentives, that the state can say, this is why you should stay here, right?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And if a private company wants to leave Columbus and move to Dublin, Bexley, New Albany, wherever, then you can. You know, it's America. Go. Stay in Ohio. Keep the tax dollars here. I don't think people are going to, if those 2,300 employees, if the office goes from downtown Columbus to Dublin, they're not going to pick up their family and move. They're going to just drive to Dublin, right? Or Bexley or wherever, or stay in Columbus. You know, maybe the city of Columbus can do it, but for the state to put our state tax dollars in, I think that's misguided.
Any connection between this and the fight over utility rates? I mean, it doesn't help probably AEP's cause to look for help from the government to fix their building if they're raising the rates.
That poor optics. I'm telling you, that is poor optics, because when people get their bill and their rates have gone up, they notice. When AEP gets some, you know, money thrown at them, taxpayer dollars thrown at them for whatever it is, they notice.
Mm-hmm. Stanley, politically, which is worse for a politician, losing the Cleveland Browns to another state or losing the electric company to the other state?
I think I'm going to take the cop out and just say yes. But I think it's the Browns. I mean, I think that's...
Nobody likes the electric company.
Nobody likes the electric company. I think the ironic part about all this, though, is they also required their workers to go back to work just in June. And so, you know, this wasn't that far long ago. You went 5-plus years of having this work-from-home policy, and now you've just finally are actually going back to downtown working. That's something that we just need to make sure that we also outline as well.
Maybe all those workers coming back into the office last summer complained about the building, and that's what prompted the relocation discussions. Thanks to our panel, Democratic strategist Stanley Gates, Republican strategist Mike Gonadakis, and State House reporter Joe Ingles from Ohio Public Radio. We will be right back. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. This week, testimony began in the trial of former First Energy executives charged with bribing state officials to bail out two nuclear power plants in northern Ohio. Former First Energy CEO Chuck Jones and former Senior Vice President Mike Dowling face charges they bribed former Public Utilities Commission Chair Sam Randazzo as part of the scheme. In his opening statement, the attorney for the former executives argued the $4.5 million they gave to Randazzo was not a bribe, but a payment Randazzo was supposed to use to settle claims with clients. The defense claims Randazzo instead pocketed the money. Here's the thing. Randazzo cannot refute the claim. He died by suicide soon after he was indicted for his role in the scandal. The jury, of course, will decide, but it's a pretty shrewd legal maneuver to shift the blame to a dead man. For that, the Jones-Dowling defense team gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, try to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. Tell your friends about us. My thanks to our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, our audio engineer, Dalton Jones. For them, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.